14 is where we are at. And of course, we're in the story of David and Goliath. And we're building up to the actual battle. But 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45 is the key verse. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." And our book says, how shall we live? Each one of us has already made a choice. Perhaps we do not even realize we have made the choice, but we have. We either are living by force or by faith. We either force it to get done, or we have faith that it gets done. David faced Goliath, and in verse 45, he summarized the battle that was about to take place when he said, "Thou comest to me." All right? This is the way the giant was coming, with a sword, with a spear, with a shield. "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." And that's a message that our world needs to hear. Our world needs to not hear how much political power we have, or how much money we have, or who our lawyer is. Our world needs to hear that we have God. And that's who they need to fear, is God. And the box in our page says, we are not living the faith way if we do not have a prayer life. We need to be praying. And we need to realize that it's forces a temptation that the devil would have us use, but it's not the right way. It's to be a life of prayer, to pray and ask God to deal with the issue for us. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil." I think that's verse 7. We need to trust in the Lord and not lean to our own understanding. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to use our brain. But I'll just give an example off the top of my head about leaning to our own understanding. I can use my plastic card in my wallet to pay for my problems, or I can ask God to show me the right way. And when I pay for my own problems, if it wasn't God's will, I end up with more problems called compound interest. And that's just one little example of how we attempt to force things instead of having a faith. Zechariah 4:6 says, "It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." And so we have to remember that ultimately it is God. Even though I do think, and the Bible says it in Proverbs, I do think we're supposed to spank our children. The Bible says that God chastens his own children. But at the same time, I don't think that the spankings by themselves make the children what they are, by themselves. Okay, I think that we just spank them because the Bible says to, not because of force, but because of faith. We're exercising our faith, and so that's why we're being obedient to God, and he chastens us. And God certainly uses force to get us to see, you know, what we need to see. But ultimately, it's faith, and we're all going to live either by force or by faith. The world's way is the force way. The Lord's way is to trust in him. And that is the faith way. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now, how much of your care? All your care. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That means everything. And everything, we cast it all upon him. Lord, it's in your hands. I can't deal with it. I don't know how to properly deal with it or take care of it. It is in your hands. How are you going to live? In your personal life, in your family life, and in your business life, you're going to live either by faith or by force. You're either going to force it to get done, or you're going to have faith in the matter. And the rewarding thing is that when you live by faith, then you know who's really in charge. You know who got it done, and you can give him the glory for it. If it's by force, there's usually strings attached. There's usually energy that needs paid for. There's usually resources that need paid for. And there's usually, you know, side effects to it. But when it's by faith, it's truly a blessing. So we have four things today about this faith versus force. Faith, the faith life honors God. Page 22, the faith life honors God. The forced life honors men. And boy, isn't that the truth? I mean, that guy's got strength and muscles and power and ability, and it honors men. But the faith life honors God. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that does not necessarily mean that you are living a faith life. I mean, you have to have faith to be saved, no doubt about it. But it is possible to know the Lord as your Savior and still live by force in your flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 says it this way, addressing the people in Corinth who were not they just weren't very mature Christians. And 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, Paul said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. And where there is envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And it goes on and on. So it says these people were saved, but they were living in a carnal way. They were living and thinking out of their flesh more than by faith. It wasn't a spiritual walk that they were having. It was a flesh walk. And so we can see that you can be a Christian, a saved person, but not necessarily live by faith. Paul was writing to save people, but they were not spiritual. Most of them, they were carnal. In 1 Samuel 17, the Philistines had decided how the battle was going to be fought. Now let me read that again. In 1 Samuel 17, and I mentioned it last week, the Philistines had decided how the battle was going to be fought. That's trap number one. That's just mode of operation for Satan and the world. And we shouldn't let the world make the rules. Right now, the world is making the rules about a lot of things. So I believe that we're to assemble together. I believe that. And they might say, well, don't you understand? The professionals all say, the scientists say, the medical professionals say, that it is just wrong. I mean, you're going to cause lots of problems if you assemble together. Well, I believe that the creator of the universe wrote a long time ago that we should assemble together. And so therefore, I have to trust him to be in charge of that. Well, we're not going to allow you. By the way, I just got it in the mail this week. Every year, the state of South Dakota requires us to reapply for tax exemption. And if we don't turn it in by November 1st, we're subject to pay taxes for next year. And so every year I go down to the courthouse and I sign the paper that we are 100% tax exempt in our property and structures. And then they notarize it and they sign it. But that South Dakota's been doing that for a long time. All right, and it's no big deal other than paperwork. However, I just don't like it. I don't like it that I have to do that when I already thought we had the freedom already in this country. But I suppose with a lot of charlatans and quote-unquote ministries that are really just tax shelters, that kind of stuff has to be done. I can understand that. But one of these days, they might say, you know what, we're not gonna allow you to have this exemption. You know, you don't abide by, you know, the current situations that we're in, and you know, we're not going to let you meet in that building, you know, whatever it might be. Well, we're still going to, just so you know, we're still going to assemble. What? You can't just, yeah, we're going to. We have to obey God rather than men. Well, then I'll throw you in prison. Well, then I guess I'll have a prison ministry. I guess you have to put me in isolation, all of us, every one of us. You have to put us in separate cell blocks so that we can't talk to some other person. That'll cost you some money. I don't know what else to do, but I'm not going to let them dictate the rules just because they say, well, this is how the rules are going to be played. I'm not going to follow their rules. And so I don't know why the Israelites even got to the point where we got to kill this giant, because if we don't kill this giant, we're all going to be slaves. Well, who made that rule? You know, they made the rules. Stop letting the world tell you what the rules are. I mean, there are rules that come from the Word of God, and we just sang it. The Bible stands, and you know, kings have ripped up the Bible and thrown them in the fire, but those kings are gone, and the Bible's still here. And so we need to recognize that just because the world makes rules doesn't mean they're necessarily God's rules. Be careful of that. And so God was not being honored, and David, you know, we talked about it last week, he hears this giant blaspheming and cursing God. And he says to all of his, you know, supposed godly people, he says to all them, what in the world are you guys doing? How can you allow this guy to talk like this? Don't you hear what he's saying? And so the world says this is going to be a force issue. We're going to have a battle of strength, and we're going to fight force to force. And when the world says that to us, well, we don't have a chance. I mean, look at us. We're not a big group of people. We don't have lots of money in the bank compared to the world. And to make matters worse, King Saul had taken on this Philistine philosophy. He and all of the army were seeing the whole thing as a force issue, that the only way we're going to win is force. And when you start doing that, then you start trying to figure out how to build up some kind of a political action committee or some kind of a nest egg or some kind of a, you know, fund that you can fight this with. And when you start doing that, you fall into their trap. And so King Saul had lived a life of force that did not bring honor to God. And when you get further away from God, you just start to become forceful in everything to make it happen. And so the whole camp was thinking force. The whole camp was thinking we have to make this happen in our own strength. And that is the trap of the devil, to get us to think we have to fight the battle in our own strength. Secondly, the faith life is rarely found. Verse 11, 1 Samuel chapter 17, back in verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Why? Because they hadn't had anyone. I mean, all of them were afraid. There wasn't anybody there that knew what to do, knew how to fight this battle. All of Israel was in trouble. The search was on in Israel's camp. They were looking for a man who would face Goliath. No one could be found. It's not always easy to find someone who lives by faith. The entire army of Israel would not move because they had learned to live by force and not by faith. And so then when David gets on the scene and God sends David to the camp. And verse 22, David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran to the army, came and slew his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to with the same words they had said earlier, and David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. How dare this man defy the armies of the living God? Verse 28, the eldest brother, Eliab, when he heard what David was saying, spake unto it and said, his anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward the nether and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And so David was this rarity. And in God's work today, it's no different. We have lost sight of the greatness of God. We feel overpowered and wonder what can be done. And I think part of the problem is that we listen to their media. We let their media be our thinking. Stop listening to the Philistine media. Stop listening to the Israelite media who believes the Philistine rules. There's conservatives that are already falling into this trap. And I'm just frustrated with the whole thing, to watch it unfold, and the fear and the new normal, which is really the new world order, but the new normal that everyone's getting molded into. By faith, we must move forward, press on, and claim the victory. And it says it four times in the Bible. It says it in Habakkuk 2:4. That's the original. And then it's repeated three times in the New Testament, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. The just shall live by force. No, that's not what it says. The just shall live by faith. We're to live by faith and not by force. We live and operate by faith, and by faith we move forward. By faith we continue on. Pastor, did you hear so-and-so is sick? Yeah. Pastor, did you hear so-and-so is sick? Yeah. I mean, before we were normal, when we were odd last year, what did we do when we heard someone who was sick? Well, pray for them to get better. Take some time to rest up. Drink lots of fluid. Stop eating junk. And we're just in this weird world today that just shall live by faith. Well, I have to stop doing what I'm supposed to be doing because of this problem. That's wrong. My orders from headquarters are still the same. I might have to do it differently based on circumstances around me, but my orders are still the same. The faith life is rarely found, and it's usually a forced life that people are conformed to. It honors God when we live by faith, and David was honoring God. It's rarely found. It's not normal to be a man of faith or a woman of faith. It's abnormal. And you stick out, and you become noticed, not for yourself, but because of the faith that you have. The three Hebrew children said, "We're not going to bow." And if we get thrown in the fiery furnace, that's okay if that's what God wills. If God's going to allow the government to throw us in the fiery furnace, that's all right. But we're going to have a life of faith. It's the rare. It's the exception. And then thirdly, the faith life protects. By the way, the three Hebrew children were not burned up in the fiery furnace. They were safe. Verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. I come to thee in the name of the Lord." The giant with all his weapons felt protected. However, it was the shepherd boy who walked down to the valley in the strength of the Lord and who was really protected. Apart from God, there is no protection. But in the center of God's will, there is safety. We heard Sherita quote Psalm 34. Let's go back and look at Psalm 34, the whole chapter here. And there's one verse in particular. Tell me which verse it is that promises us and gives us the safety. Psalm 34 and verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." By the way, David was magnifying the Lord that day. Never one time does David go down there and say, "I want everybody to know who I am." But God, David was interested in magnifying God. Exalt the Lord. Magnify the Lord. You know what a magnifying glass does? It's kind of like some of your glasses do. They make your eyes look real big. Magnifying glass makes everything bigger. How much bigger do you magnify the Lord? David was a little pipsqueak, according to the story, but he magnified the Lord that day. How much do we magnify the Lord? I think part of the problem with our Christian celebrities that we have today is that the celebrities are the ones that are getting magnified and not the Lord. The world's not impressed with our Christian celebrities, but they are impressed when they see the Lord, because he is huge. And so David says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them." There's the safety verse. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and delivereth them. He's there. Verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit, a bruised spirit, broken heart. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. The faith life protects. The force life endangers. The force life actually builds more enemies against you than you needed to have. We throw ourselves open to every enemy when we try to live by force. But our God protects us and encamps around about us when we live by faith. There is a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm just going to read it to you and show you how I think we need to behave and pray. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Paul is in prison. He's writing to Timothy. He's in prison. This is about the last thing he has to say. He asks in verse 13 if Timothy would bring the extra coat, the extra cloak that he had, but especially his books and his writing paper, his parchments. Verse 14, Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. For you, it's probably not Alexander the coppersmith. It's probably somebody else. But we all have somebody. But notice what he says at the end of verse 14. The Lord reward him according to his works. We just leave it in the Lord's hands. We just put the problem in God's hands. Now try to get back at Alexander the coppersmith and burn down his coppersmith factory, you know, or steal all his copper. Put slanderous things in the paper about Alexander. No, we just the Lord deal with him. The Lord, I'm just going to put it in his hands. The Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth him. Trust the Lord. Put it in his hands. Let him be the one that protects us. So a faith life honors God. A faith life is rarely found, and a faith life is protective. And I just know this is true. I just know that at the end of the day or at the end of my life, it is not my intelligence or my great savvy or super wisdom. It's just obeying God. I know I've talked about this before, but I always think about the Israelite people who left Egypt. And they're following the pillar of fire at night, cloud by day. They're following that thing day by day, and they're going right into the Red Sea. And they get to the Red Sea, and they're at the dead end there, and it looks stupid, and Israel is trapped, and Egypt is coming, and Pharaoh and his force is going to destroy them. And the faith life says, no, you're safe as long as you obey. And they obeyed. Now, most of them were mumbling about it, but Moses obeyed. And so God said, Moses, hold out your rod, and he holds out his rod, and the Red Sea splits in half, and they go across. It was not the force life that won. It was the faith life that won. Not one of them did anything forceful to make the water go back like it did. Not one of them really did. Moses had nothing to do with what happened other than obedience, faith. And so by faith, they were saved. And by faith, they got the victory. And so you're saved from hell by faith, and you're saved from the trials and things that we have every day of our life by faith as well. It is not by force. It's by faith. And we need to get back to that and realize that. It's living by faith. It's walking by faith and being obedient. And because we don't obey, we don't have the victory. We don't have the rescue. We're not obedient. God can't rescue us. God allows us to be defeated and destroyed. And Samson disobeyed God, and finally God said, okay, find out what force will do. It won't work. And it has to be faith. And so many times, in fact, later in David's life, you'll see where he forgot faith and he started trusting in force. But David, at this time in his life, was living and walking by faith. Now, let's go back here and look at this climax as we see it building here And we'll start in verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. You've got nothing. How are you going to win against me? The Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Woo! Man, that was a speech. That was a defining moment right there in David's life. And by the way, whenever you have one of those moments where God did grant you grace and you live by faith, that doesn't mean that for the rest of your life that you just are a faith guy. Because later on, I can show you where David actually wanted the sword of Goliath. He told Goliath, you got a sword, but I got the Lord. But a few chapters later, you're going to find out that David wanted the sword of Goliath because he was afraid and he wasn't living by faith. But right now, David is living by faith. And he had learned to live by faith continually. And this whole scene of David standing before Goliath, it started way back in his younger years. Verse 37, David told King Saul, he said, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. What makes David have faith against a giant is because he already had had some smaller tests with a bear and a lion. And he already found out that God could finish him off and God could give him the victory by faith. And so when you and I don't pass the small tests, and if you're here today and you haven't passed the small test, you're not ready for the big test. There are Christians who are failing right now with COVID-19. Because they never let God challenge them in the small things. And now that there's a bigger challenge, they're not ready to fight. I keep seeing this over and over on Facebook, and it's true. Don't tell me that you're willing to go to prison for your faith when you won't even go to church because you're afraid of some thing that you can't even see. And that's what's going on. People are just living in fear, and now there's all kinds of other fears on top of those fears, and it's just because we're not being challenged. I should say this, we're not meeting the challenge of faith. David did not come back home and say, Dad, I got bad news for you. All the sheepies are gone. Nobody's paying me enough money to stand up to a bear and a lion. You want your sheep to be taken care of, you should have all the boys out there watching the sheep, not just me by myself. That's what a lot of us have been doing. Well, I don't see why God's making it so hard. Don't you understand that God's making it hard because he's got something harder that he wants you to be challenged with next? He has a lion and a bear preparing you for what's coming next. I didn't like the challenges that I've had in my life. I don't like them. But what I found out is they were there to test me and to prove to me that the later challenge was coming and I could face that one. And so we walk by faith by learning step by step, year by year, to live by faith. This is why it's important that we allow God to challenge us with the little things and the bigger things and the bigger, and it just gets bigger. It might just be money. You know what? Over the time, I've found out that God's in charge of my finances. Now, I'm given responsibility, and I'm supposed to do well, and I'm supposed to pay attention, and I'm supposed to make sure that I'm doing exactly what God would have me to do with those in that area. But there is just nothing that I worry about when it comes to that. Now, it could change. I mean, let's say everybody in this church decides to quit and to go home and to not be a part, and let's say the offerings just go down to zero. Well, I suppose that'll be a challenge. But I've been there. I've been in church. I was the pastor, and the week's offering was $2. And the next week offering was $100, and that was my tithe. You know, I was paying myself. I think when I left my first church in Newcastle, Wyoming, I think, and we still got the records, they're still taped up. I think, I don't remember the number now, it's been too long, but I think in the nine years that I was there, I got paid, I think maybe $45,000 in 9 years, all right? Now, I'm only telling you that for one reason. I've been there before, all right? If you doubt that, I'll dig out the books and show them to you. I save those books just because it's just good to save your books. But, you know, I never go back and look at that stuff. But here's the point. Do I look like I starved? Do I look like I starved to death in those 9 years? The accumulation was still there. The protection was still there. It's okay. It's all right. And, what if it gets bad? What if you have to close your doors? That doesn't mean the church is closed. Just because the building is not being operated in. See, we got to learn, and we do learn as we have trial and error. Been there, done that is a great blessing. And David was able to tell Saul, hey, I fought a lion and bear. I wonder if King Saul sitting there in his fancy royal outfit with his fancy gold crown and his fancy gold throne, I wonder if King Saul was thinking to himself, man, I never fought a bear. I never fought a lion. You know? But David had these challenges, and it was bolstering him to have more confidence, so that when he sees this Goliath, he's mad, he's angry at the blasphemy that he hears, and I'm sure he's also angry at everybody else around him going, you know, I'm a shepherd and you guys are the soldiers, look at you guys, I'm the shepherd, I'm the pipsqueak shepherd, you're the big tough military guys. Right? And he's like, come on, what's up with this? So the faith life honors God. The faith life is rarely found. The faith life protects. And the faith life, the victory of the faith life, is eternal. It's not just a faith action. It's a faith life. It isn't just a couple actions of faith. It's a living by faith. The just shall live by faith. God gave David a victory that day that was long lasting. David did not start living by faith the day he killed Goliath. He had learned to live by faith continually. And that's why we need to welcome the daily challenges. That's why we need to have faith promise missions. Because we need to exercise our faith that God will take care of us if we'll put him first. That's why we tithe every week. That's why we give. That's why we do things. That's why there's challenges. And you and I, we hate challenges. We love simplicity. We love easy. We love microwaves. We love anything that's fast and convenient. We love instant. That's the way we like it. We love do it one time and never have to do it again. That's what we like. We like that kind of thing. And yet God wants us to be challenged over and over again, day by day, to live by faith and put him first. It's not a faith action. And I've talked to people that had a faith action, and that's all they ever revert to is their faith action. Well, back there in 02, well, I tell you what. Well, what about 2020? You know? What about 2018? What about last week? And so it's eternal. We cannot continue to live the forced life and expect God's blessing. We win a short-term victory in our own force, in our own flesh. But living the faith, and by the way, if you'll read the Kings and the Chronicles, one of the mistakes and one of the things that God was never very happy with was when the kings would call the neighboring countries to come help them fight their battle. And there were time after time the messenger of God would say, oh yeah, you got that one done, but now you got a new problem. You just tied on another problem. You just went into debt to fight your battle rather than asking God to fight your battle. And we cannot continue to live the forced life and expect God's blessing. We may win short-term victory, but living the faith life and doing God's will is what abides forever. And listen to this. if it's God's will, it will abide forever. The labor that you do for God is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. There's so much that is in vain today, so much that was supposed to be a great idea, but it's all in vain. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, keep your finger in Samuel. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then here's the key verse. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I mean, the story of David and Goliath is forever. It'll never go away. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If you do the will of God, it'll have eternal value. It'll have eternal consequences. And then go back up to 1 Samuel 17 and look closely at verse 46. Look closely here. Because the forced life doesn't honor God. Goliath said, I'm going to chew you up and spit you out. I'm going to feed you to the birds. And Goliath was all about force and all about what I'm going to do. And I'm going to, and I'm going to. Look at verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. Right off the bat, David says, God's going to deliver you in my hand. I think I might have mentioned it last week, but I think up in heaven, if there was any question as to whether God was going to help David, I think it was solid right there. And I think it was already solid. But because, man, if Goliath doesn't get defeated now, God's going to look bad. You know? And there's no reason for God not to help David. He's right with the Lord. He's right where he needs to be. He's obedient. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day. Are you reading verse 46? I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. I'm going to feed you to the birds and to the wild beasts of the earth. And then notice at the end of verse 46, that all the earth may know that David is here. That's not what it says. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's the difference between faith and force. My goal is for God to be noticed. My goal is for everybody to know God is in charge. Not me, not you, not us, but God. God's the one that honors. Force doesn't honor God. Faith honors God. And the just shall live by faith. And so I want everyone to know that my God is real. Now, he's kind of saying something I think that we should maybe notice here. There isn't a King Saul in Israel. I mean, he is king, but he's not much of a king, you know. Can't speak very highly of the guys standing behind me. They're kind of wimping out right now, but there's still a God in Israel. God is still God. You might have reason to laugh at the guys behind me right now, but you can't laugh at my God. You can't dishonor him. It was for God's glory. Nobody else got the glory but God. Now, I think David got some glory out of this, but he didn't ask for it. But God was the one that was honored. And David was more than a giant killer. He was a man of faith in God. And if you're going to be a man of faith, you got to take those challenges now. You got to take the small challenges. You got to stand up to the bear and the lion. You got to stand up to the little things and learn to fight them by faith and not by force. And fight them by faith and not by your own design and your own ability, but by faith. And that way he'll give you bigger challenges and bigger challenges and bigger challenges. I meet some people and I say, wow, they have a faith. Well, you know how they got it? By exercise. By being challenged and meeting the challenge and building faith muscles and not by force. Let's bow for prayer and we'll go on again next week in our lesson. Lord, we thank you for David's example. We thank you for faith. Faith is the victory. We thank you for the opportunity as believers to have faith rather than force. We thank you for opportunity as believers to be able to put you first and to recognize you are the one that gets the glory, and that David was able to honor you and to lift up your name and to remind his own people that God is still God, and that you're worth fighting for and you're worth sacrificing for. We thank you for David's faith and for how it challenged and encouraged the men behind him, and how that it taught the men in front of him. And help us to be a people of faith in these days, and to live by faith and walk by faith, and to be people that demonstrate that our God is still in charge. Our God cannot be blasphemed. Our God cannot be limited, and he is ultimate, the ultimate force. So help us to have faith in you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.